absolute mayhem. The helicopters were going, the sirens were going, there were cars on fire, bikes on fire, shops, windows smashed in, absolute carnage everywhere. And I was angry. I was like, what on earth has happened? You know, it was like you kind of came into a totally different zone. And suddenly it dawned on me, I'm smack bang in the middle of this riot. I looked at the fires and everything, and I got really angry, and I said, why on earth would you do this in your own community? Why on earth would you be, you know, picking it to bits like this and trashing it? And that was it. I made a comment about the car, that there was a car on fire right beside me, and I'm saying this is pointless. You know, this is someone who lives in the community. More than likely, it's this person's, a person of the community's car, and you just took it upon yourselves to just set it on fire for what? You know, if you're saying you're fighting a cause and believing in something that is wrong, I couldn't understand. There were so many elders, people of my age group and older, that were around, and nobody had kind of said, come on, guys, this isn't the way.
You didn't quote yourself completely exactly, though, did you, a moment ago? I mean, that's not, that wasn't exactly what you said in the...
Well, I mean, there were a few choice words.
If I can refer to my notes, you lot piss me the f*** off. I'm ashamed to be a Hackney person.
Oh, indeed, indeed. I'm so embarrassed every time I see that YouTube clip. I think, oh, my days.
Are you, though? Because isn't that part of what... I mean, that raw anger...
It was the swearing.
It cut through, didn't it?
It did.
If you'd stood there and said, you know, this, I'm a bit annoyed about this, you probably wouldn't have made any impact. Isn't that the truth?
I suppose, yeah. Someone made a comment at the end of the clip saying, amazing speech when you've filtered out the swear words. It was quite an amazing speech. I suppose I wasn't in a vicarage tea party and...
And you will never be invited to one.
Probably not. I wasn't in a vicar's tea party, and you're talking to a certain kind of people, so you have to speak the language, youngsters especially, you know.
So tell me about your brush with politics and the sort of things you've learned.
Oh, wow, my brush with politics. I was invited to the Conservative conference by the Guardian newspaper. I met... various different MPs. A lot of the ideas they've come up, they kind of give you something in one hand and then take it with the other. You know, Bob Marley, a very famous reggae artist, he said...
I know it's Radio 4, but we know who Bob Marley is.
Okay. He said, a hungry man is an angry man. And it's very much a true saying, because... If you stop their money, why were they out there stealing in the first place? Because they haven't got money, because they haven't got all the luxuries that our MPs and certain other people of our country would have. So I'm not condoning what they did, but it's just an insight as to why they stole shoes and whatever else they stole.
It's interesting you talk about MPs in the same sentence there. I know at the time of the riots, we had quite a few emails from listeners saying... Well, what is the difference between someone stealing a television on the streets of Hackney and an MP fraudulently claiming for goodness?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. It's almost like we have legal stealing and illegal stealing. Well, in good old West Indian layman, my mother would have said, a thief is a thief. It doesn't matter how you look at it, you know? And it really is very much that. A thief is a thief. They go off and buy houses with the government money, our taxes, yeah. Porn movies, chandeliers, lawnmowers, you name it, they've had it. And they got away with a smack on the wrist, and you mustn't do that again.
Well, some of them went to jail.
A few, you know. But then these hoodies... And bear in mind, these MPs, they're working for between anything 150 to 250,000 a year. These hoodies and thugs and scums that people were labelling these people, they're on £120 to a £200 a fortnight, you know, a fortnight benefit. Now, in my experience and going to the Conservative conference, They spent that on just an afternoon lunch. But these people, they haven't got a clue or an insight of what the real world is out there for the people of Britain. Many of us are living on, how would I describe it? I don't even know how I'd describe it, but we are on the borderline. We are robbing Peter to pay Paul. Things are tight out there. The cuts are not making it easier.
You met Ed Miliband as well, didn't you?
Ed, I met. Very nice man. And he came across as being genuinely concerned and wanting to do something. I haven't heard back from him since, but that could be something to do with the unpleasant article I had written up about me in the People newspaper.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because one of the other things that's happened this year, we had phone hacking, and then we had the Leveson inquiry, which is still going into how the press behaves. And there was you. You wouldn't have been in the People had it not been for becoming famous.
That's right.
And Riot heroine of Hackney exposed as drug deal fixer was their headline. What's been your experience?
My experience, in fact, I moved to London with my partner at the time to get away from a situation I was involved in. I used to sell drugs. I never once came to the radio or the papers or the TV saying I was a saint. I had a past. That's why I was able to talk about these things so passionately, because I know what it entails to be involved in a gang and trying to get away from that.
Your drug dealing, the people said, was much more recent.
They're saying that I, in fact, am still drugs dealing, but the
and
reason I was... No. By
but well, I mean, what I'm really driving at is, was anything in the people's story, as far as you're concerned, because they're saying that you were trying to deal drugs last week, when this was November that the
right.
story came out.
Well,
was
what had happened, this gentleman, unsavoury, turned up at my home. This is someone I haven't seen for years, for as long as I've been in London. Yes, I was guilty in the fact that I stupidly dialed a number and gave him the phone. But in the drug world and the gang world, if you've got someone who's turned up at your house, you're not really sure what their motives are, what they're about. The way I look at it, the same way he had a hidden camera on him is the same way that he could have had a gun. I was confused and I was scared, but I couldn't show fear.
I mean, you brought up the people yourself, and I was always going to ask you about it. And I suppose the critical question here, and what people listening to this will want to know, is now you've said you don't deal drugs now.
No.
When did you stop?
The moment I moved to London.
Right.
I wanted to get away from that situation.
And that's all behind you, and you feel
it's all behind me.
And
I feel, you know, I did what I did, and I knew it was wrong. It wasn't what my parents wanted from me. I made my father ashamed. My mother's died and gone, God rest her soul. And I wanted to make right all the wrongs I'd done. Why I went to jail, all the other things that had happened in my life. And suddenly I was putting that pride back in my father and making him believe in me again. And somebody comes along with this story that now I feel that a lot of the MPs are shunning away from me. But hey, I haven't killed anyone. I hope people can appreciate that. For me, the best thing to do at that time was to just ring a number, let him get what he wants and go away. For me, I was distressed, deeply distressed and very upset about it. And it's all because of the limelight, you know. I've given up so much of my life.
You've had all sorts of experiences, that being one of them.
Yes.
On balance, are you glad you did the speech, that it was filmed and all of that happened, given everything that's happened?
On balance, yes. I think there needed to be a voice out there that would help the MPs to understand a bit more of what's going on in the life of the people of England. when you're living a rich life, you don't necessarily visit the ghetto. You don't necessarily go down to the slums and see what's really going on there. You just think, oh, they can get on with it. But the majority of people are feeling this and want something done, and they want the government to stand up and acknowledge them and help them and support them.